Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. It is now the 8:30 hour on Wednesday night, and it's time for Words of Wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, and it is always an honor, a privilege to be able to come before the people of God as we explore the Word of God together. You know, I'm just so grateful unto God that He has allowed us to have this forum for so many years. And many of you callers have been with me from the beginning, and you still take time from your busy schedule. Call in on Wednesday night, read the printed scriptures through the week, and come ready to receive what God has for you on tonight. As always, I want you to know that tonight we're coming out of the book of Obadiah. And, you know, Obadiah is one of the books of the prophets, and it's a major book, a minor book of the prophets. And I want you to know that the title of the lesson tonight is, you have to be careful how you treat God's children. You have to be careful how you treat God's children. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to play a song, and after the song, we're going to enter the throne of grace. And as always, if anyone would like to pray, you could press the one button. I'll open your mic, and you could pray over the airwaves. And then we'll explore the word together. I'm happy on the night, y'all. I pray that each and every one of you have some joy in your heart about something that God has done, is doing, or promised to do in your life. No matter what we go through, no matter what trials or tribulations that are formed against us, the Bible say that they won't profit. And even though we go through things, if we put it in our forefront and keep it on our mind and truly realize that no matter what happens, we are in the hands of God. So I'm going to play this song, and a song that I chose to play is called A Blessing of Abraham, because the lesson tonight and all of the lessons, mostly of prophecy, was geared on what God had promised, the situations that had taken place, and the restoration of God to get it back on track. Our study tonight of the book of Obadiah is no different. So with that being said, the song is called The Blessings of Abraham, and you can see by the time we finish the lesson how it all ties in. But be prayerful, be mindful, open your eyes that you could see, your ears that you could hear, your heart that you could receive what God is trying to tell us.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage my choir in their farewell concert and recording, the Tri-City Singers. Put your hands together. Come on, choir. Let's encourage them out there. Let's tell them that the blessing of Abraham is on their life. Oh, my brothers and sisters, because you are in Christ, you are Abraham's heir, and you have an inheritance on your life. You're the heir to the promise God made to Abraham. Go get your inheritance. Anybody gonna go get it out there? Go, y'all. business, a practice. Yeah, write a book, score a film. Ah, somebody's going to walk out of here and go right into their inheritance. Come on, tell them what it is. Say it's children.
It's yours. It's yours.
Ah.
It's your inheritance.
Wave your hands as you know you're going to go get it.
It's yours.
It's yours.
It's yours.
It's yours.
It's your inheritance.
Come on, y'all, talk to them. Tell them, say
it's yours.
It's yours.
It's yours.
It's yours.
It's your inheritance.
You got an inheritance out there.
Prayer for the study on tonight, please press the 1 button. Well, I'll go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, here it is once more and again we come to you. Heavenly Father, we enter your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. Heavenly Father, we come to you because there's no other name besides the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray that you get the glory out of what's going to happen on tonight, dear God. And we pray that the Holy Spirit gives illumination and revelation to everyone. Heavenly Father, we pray that the word don't return void and that we can use what we hear and not just become hearers, but become doers of your word. Lord, we thank you for your holy Bible, each and every book of the Bible, because in it is you trying to tell us something. Lord, I pray that we catch hold of it, that we begin to understand, realize, and meditate on the things of God so that we can live a more victorious life. Lord, you say it in your word that you have provided everything that is necessary for us to live a righteous life. And God, whatever you ask us to do, the provisions are already provided. Lord, and that makes it real exciting because that lets us know what kind of God we serve. Lord, you don't set us up to fail, and you want all of us to be a useful vessel for the kingdom. But, Lord, you have done all and more than all of your part. What my prayer is now, dear God, that we take hold, stand up tall, and do our part. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen, and thank God. So I'm going to give some background, as we always do. And I want you to know that Obadiah, the name, literally means servant of God. This was one of the most common names in the Bible. There were 12 other men with the same name in the Bible, but none whom can be identified with the author of this book. You know, sometimes you might be reading something and you see the name Obadiah and you believe that it's the Obadiah, the prophet, that wrote the book of Obadiah, but it may not be. So I just gave you that because there are other 12 other men with the name. And then I go on to say, we do not know anything about this man except that he must have lived in Judah since he prophesied in relation to Jerusalem. It appears that Obadiah didn't want to necessarily speak of himself because, remember, he was the author. But he wanted to emphasize God and his prophecy. He, with doing that, he was letting you know, I'm only the messenger. Obadiah, as I said earlier, was a minor prophet. You see, the shortest book in the Old Testament, Obadiah, among all the writings of the prophets, provides an overview of the message presented in each of the writing prophets. I always say, I think on each program or every other one, since we've been dealing with the prophet, I told you it's always about God's judgment on somebody, some people, some places. It was always his judgment. But as we read past the judgment, we could always see God's grace and ultimate deliverance of his people. You see, this double thread is woven throughout every prophet, book of prophecy in the Old Testament. It was always about God and his people. and then restore and then restoration. And that's how God is in our lives. You know, God has to judge because he is the judge. But he's always fair. And we always have consequences for our actions. So it's not a God thing trying to punish you. It's what's attached, the consequences attached to many of the actions that we do in our lives. But you see, to truly understand this book, you must first understand who the players are and how long the trouble between them continued. I pray that everybody was able to read the chapter in the book of Obadiah so you could really understand what I'm saying and where we're going. You see, the Edomites are the descendants of Esau. So when you see the word Edom, that's the place. The people who lived there is the Edomites, and they were the descendant of Esau. I hope y'all remember who Esau was. If not, I'll get to it in this lesson. And the Israelites are the descendants of Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. Okay, that's the two players. God made a promise to Abraham that his seeds would become his personal nation, and that they would receive the promised land. See, when I played that record, The Blessing of Abraham, you know, that's what it was talking about, that God made a promise to Abraham, and if God said it, it's going to come to pass. You see, but there was a lot of animosity between the Edomites and the Israelites. Edom and the Israelites. And Edom's punishment because of what? Because of that. Okay, this book of Obadiah is going to talk about the animosity between Edom and the Israelites. And then it's going to speak about Edom's punishment because of the animosity and the things that was done. It's the whole theme of the book of Obadiah. You see, the animosity between the Edomites and the Israelites is one of the oldest examples of discords in human relationships. Y'all get that? It began even before their ancestors. Okay, Esau and Jacob were brothers, blood brothers. Matter of fact, they were twins. And in the Bible, this is the first time that we see the mention of twins. They say when when their mother was carrying them, and their father, which was Isaac, they say that the baby jostled each other in her womb. Several times I have heard, and I'm going to look it up. I didn't have time today. But they always tell a story that when they were being born, that Esau was coming out first, which would have gave him the largest inheritance by being the firstborn male, and Jacob would have came out second. But the Bible said that even in the womb, they jolted each other. And people often say that Jacob held on the foot of Esau as he was coming out, trying to pull him back so that Jacob could come out first. You see, even before they were born, they were struggling together in their mother's womb, telling you some things with a conflict, why and how. And then we go on, and then Esau, who came out first, was first in line for the largest inheritance and the blessing. One day became hungry, and his brother used to stick with his mother, and the brother had cooked some stew, some say beans, some say other things, but he had prepared food to eat. And Esau was so hungry that his brother told him, if I give you this bowl of food, would you give me your birthright? And Esau said, yes. So it went on, and Jacob and his mother, because Jacob's name means trickster, y'all. So even though Jacob's got the blessing and God is protecting him even to this day, you know, Jacob had a past. His name means trickster, and his mother favored him over Esau, and they made up a plot to trick the father for the blessing. You see? And they went in, and Esau was Ray and Harry, and Jacob was more smooth, so to trick the father, they cut an animal and wrapped his arm with the animal hair, and went into the father. The father said, this don't sound like Esau. It sounds like Jacob. So when the father touched the arm, he felt the hair and, of course, was tricked. But you got to know all this was a part of God's plan. Don't leave that out. So Esau became very angry, and he said, isn't he rightfully named Jacob? He has deceived me these two times. He took my birthright, and as we say it, he didn't really take it. He gave it to him for the bowl of beans, and now he has taken my blessing. Because before the father died, he would give the blessings upon the one that would be first in line of the inheritance. So after that, Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing of his father, the blessing that his father had given him. And he said, the days of mourning for my father are near. He said, you know, my dad's fixing to die. He said, but once he is dead, I will kill my brother Jacob. That's in Genesis 27, a 36 verse. Then Esau went out and moved to another land, and he left. And he was around the sandstorm area southeast of the Dead Sea. So Esau picked up and he left. Some other things that Esau had done after this has happened. Later, Edom refused to let the Israelites pass through their land when the Israelites were on their way to the promised land. And the Edomites came out against them with a large and powerful army. Even then, God told Israel, do not abhor any Edomite, for it is your brother. Look, don't do him any harm, because that's your brother. But however, the animosity continued for centuries, and the Edomites harbored hostility against Israel. For centuries, y'all. We have to be careful of what we hold on to and why. But if you really pay attention, sometime in the Bible when it speaks of the Edomites, you will see that Sapor was a king that was an Edomite. And he had a chance to put oppression upon the Israelites. He would do it because he remembered the stories from their ancestor and the animosity and the hatred that they had towards them. So you see how it went from generation to generation to generation to generations. And that's what's happening in a lot of our families today. You see, we have to be careful again, well, like I say, what we want to hold on to. You see, the enmity between the seed of Jacob and the seed of Esau is seen even in the New Testament. You see, when Herod the Great was a king, he was the one that put out the attachment to kill any boys over a certain age. So the animosity was still there, and the Edomites had did so much against the Israelites, and the Israelites are God's people. And like I said in the title of the lesson, you got to be careful how you treat God's people. And God never said the Israelites was perfect, because plenty of their oppression became from their consequences of their actions. But God made a promise to Abraham, and the promise he made to Abraham is a promise for you. But you got to believe it to be able to achieve it and then receive it. You see, Obadiah is the oldest of all the writing of the prophets, takes up here the topic of doom of Edom. After him, almost all the prophets have made Edom an object of the Lord's wrath and destruction, and more than any other nation mentioned in the Old Testament, Edom is the supreme object of God's wrath. Hallelujah. And if we go into the scriptures, and I hope that gave you some idea. And the book is short, but it's precise, and it's talking about one thing. I don't know if you guys remember when we was talking about when the children of Israel was going to receive the promised land, and it was brought to my attention then that when they left where they was walking from to get to the promised land, many nations stayed on the route. And every time they came up against a nation, they would ask for permission. Sometimes they even told them, if y'all remember, we don't even want to drink your water. We're not going to do this. We just want to pass through. And many of the kings and the nations agreed. But the Edomites was one of the nations that told them no, they couldn't. And they had to go round and further their journey another way. So keep that in mind. And as we get to the lesson, if I read verse 1 and 2, they said a vision of Obadiah. Okay, we realize that Obadiah is a prophet. God has given him a vision. And then when you see it, say, thus said the Lord concerning Edom. Edom, we have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise, and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathens, but thou art greatly despised. What is happening here? God gave him the vision to express how displeased he was with them. He's saying, now, Obadiah, you know, you got to go tell them, because I'm going to have judgment on them. And it's amazing that God never do things without giving information about what he's going to do. And I think in this particular case, usually if he was talking to the Ammonites, were not a part of God's chosen nation. But when you read and when we read the prophecies before, it was God sometime talking to his promised people, to his nation, to the Israelites, and he was telling them, because he wasn't going to totally destroy them because the promise he made to Abraham. So he was trying to tell them how to get their life straight. And then when they would get their life straight, he would come in and restore. But the lesson tonight, we see that God's judgment is just going to stand. It's no time for turning around. It's punishment and judgment for Edom. And God let Obadiah know, let him know, because this was going to happen. Because we remember, if God said it, we know it's going to come to pass. So that's what he's saying in those verses. Then we get to 3. They say, the pride of thy heart has deceived thee. Now, this is God talking about Edom. He's saying, the pride of thy heart has deceived thee. Thou had dwelled in the cleft of the rocks. They built their cities in the cleft of a rock, which gave them security. They say, those inhabitants is high, because you're in a mountain, in the rocks of the mountain, that say it in his heart. And he telling them, now this is the Edomites talking. He's saying, you said, who shall bring me down to the ground? They're saying, like, you know, ain't nobody could touch this. And 4, thou has exalted thyself as an eagle. Still God talking to Edom. And though thou set thy nest among the stars, hence will I bring thee down, said the Lord. You see, the Edomites felt secured, and they were proud of their self-sufficiencies. But they were only fooling themselves. There is no lasting security apart from God. Y'all believe that tonight? They cities was in caves, in the rocks, in the high mountains. That's why he say, you know, you set yourself as high as eagle, and you set among the stars, and you're in the cliffs of the rocks. He said, yeah, you all of that. And it has given you false security, because without me, it ain't about nothing. You see, they really thought that they had it going on. And there's a scripture in the Bible that tells us about this. Well, there are many, you know, because pride, they said there's always destruction from before pride. You know, they was prideful. And there's another scripture said, be careful not to think more of yourself than you ought to. And if we get to the 5th verse, they say, if thieves came to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they have not stole until they had enough? If the grape gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes? How are the things of Esau? And you see how smart God is for those who don't have a lot of background. Now he used Esau's name. So you could tie Edom and the Edomites to Esau. He uses his name in the Old James Testament. He said, how are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up? What God was telling him, he said, you see, when a thief or a robber usually, and back then they usually did that, that's how they stole and robbed and went in your fields and got grapes and whatever to eat. Usually when a robber or a thief, or a grape gatherer come in, you see where he said? He said they usually only take what they need to get filled or what they needed. He said, but however, I will thoroughly judge Esau and leave him with nothing. He said, you're not going to even have the pity of a robber or a grape gatherer, or the way they do it and what the custom was and what was normal. He said, it's not going to go down like that. He said, when I judge you and when I get through with you, you will have nothing. So that's what those scriptures was talking about. And if we go to 7, they say, all the men in their confederacies had brought thee even to the border, and the men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee. You see what he's telling you? Man, you thought they was for you. Them people wasn't for you. They was just using you. You know how that's happened so much in our lives? Have deceived thee and prevail against thee, that they eat thy bread, have laid a wound under the tree. Yeah, they take what you got. They do that. There is none understanding in him. In 8, shall I not in the day, say the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom and understanding out of the mount of Esau? And 9, and thy mighty men, O Tema, shall be dismayed to the end, that everyone at the mount of Esau may be cut off and slaughtered. And 10, for thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shall cut and thou shalt be cut off forever. See, God is telling what he's going to do. You see, God told them that the people who they thought was with them was only using them, and yet they despised them. And you see, when he talks about this old Tamar, you know, that was a city in Emar, in Edom, where they say right there in 9, O Teman shall be dismayed. And before that, they talked about the wise men. You see, in that city, there were wise counselors and mighty men, but they all had begun to be prideful. And he was telling them, yeah, they're smart. They had a reputation of being the smartest and the mightiest people of that city. That's what it was known for. He said, but even them is going to be cut off. And if we go to the 11th verse, in the day that thy stood it on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captivity his forces, and the foreigners entered into his gate, and they cast lots upon Jerusalem. What he's saying, yeah, the strangers and the other people, you know, y'all joined forces. You know, you couldn't take the Israelites out by yourself. So whenever anybody else was going with them, you went for them just for the kill, just for the joy of it, because you just wanted them hurt by any means necessary. He said, you went with them in the scripture where I was reading. They say, even thou was as one of them. You went with them like, you know, you was the enemy and, you know, you had a vengeance and you was ready to take them out. That's what God telling them. And I'm on the 12. But thou should have, this part is good, y'all. But thou should have not looked on the day of thy brother in the day that he became a stranger. They say, neither. You shouldn't have started looking at your brother as a stranger and want to get rid of him any kind of way. He said, neither should thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. You know, Judah went down and they got happy. The more trials, tribulation, and adversities that happen to Judah and Israel, the happier they became. He tell him here, neither should thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. You spoke, joked, and joted in their distress. He said, you shouldn't have did it. 13, thou shouldest not have entered into the gates of my people in a day of their calamity. Yea, thou should have not looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. You know, they went in and plundered and took what they wanted. And 14 says, neither should thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. He said you stood in the crossroad and you took care of ones that was escaping. You know, you went out the boundaries like the battle was over there, and you say, I'ma just take care of anybody escape, because you don't want nobody to escape. That remind me when they had Katrina on the interstate in the Mississippi River Bridge or whatever one it was, and it was probably both of them, when the people was trying to escape the calamities of the storm, and they had people standing out there turning them around. He said, you shouldn't have did it. You even mess with the ones who got away. That's like dirty pool. And then the last part of the scripture said, neither shalt thou have delivered up those of his that remain in the days of the distress. You know, plenty of times a city came in and they overtook the city and they killed a lot of people, but they left some of them standing for probably their gain. And he said, you're even delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. You see, here Obadiah is not talking about no particular historical occasion, but probably referring to all of Edom's transgressions against God. If you ever read the Bible and you read the stories and you see how God dealt with Edom and, you know, how he was handling, the book of Obadiah give you the answer to the why. Hallelujah. And 15 says, for the day of the Lord is near upon the heathens, as thou hast done. It shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon your head. Keep saying it. You know, God's going to judge in the day of the Lord. Whenever you read in the Bible the day of the Lord, that's speaking of some kind of judgment, is near upon all the heathens, as thou hast done. It shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thy head. You know, you could get a good reward or a bad reward. You see, when I read that, you know, it's almost like giving us example of what you reap, you're going to sow. Come on now. What you put out is what you're going to get in. And that's what he's saying. The day of the Lord is going to come and everybody going to answer for what they've done, good or bad. They say the day of the Lord is that particular time when God will intervene activities in the affairs of humanity and all creation. And he's going to take care of the affairs in both blessings and judgment. This period going to begin with the rapture of the church and ends following the kingdom age with the purging of the heavens and the earth. And for us that are Christians and have been washed in the blood of Jesus, we know the final judgment and all that. We will not be here. You know, that's another piece of hope for the saved. You see, when Jesus come back for his people, you know, many things in Revelation is going to happen after that time, like the 1,000 years that Satan is locked up, and then when he's let loose, and then it talks about the final judgment when they will be really, you know, either you're in or you're out, because after the rapture and the people are taken up with God, the Christians, and the dead in Christ, we know, going to rise first, and then the people that are alive are going to be picked up, and we're going to take off our corruptible and put on incorruptible, and we're going to be with Jesus, and then they're going to lock Satan up, and then, you know, during that time, and, well, Satan is going to be loose, so people are going to still be living on earth, but they're going to have a chance to get it right. They're going to have a chance. So that's why they're going to have the rapture, and then they're going to have a judgment after the people who were left have a chance to get it right. But we say war unto them that is left. So it is our desire and it should be our goal that we go back with Jesus when he comes back for the church. And then if we look at 16, for as we have drank upon my, for as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathens drink constantly. Yea, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they have been. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions, and the house of Jacob, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions, and the house of Jacob will be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau a stubble. And they shall kinder in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remainders of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken it. You know, this here is a good example when the Bible tells us what profit is for a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul. You know, God said Esau is going to, in Edom, in the Edomites, they're going to be a stubble. And it also said in that last verse I read, there shall not be any remaining in the house of Esau. You know, this is like gaining a world and losing your soul. Another part of it is the race is not given to the swift, but neither the battle to the strong, but those who endure to the end. And I'm adding this, to the end and the things of God. You know, Esau and Jacob grew up in the same house. And, of course, they had to be men when he sold his birthright up. You know, and, well, I ain't going to say they had to be men, but they had to be really of age of understanding. And then after, you know, these things happened, Esau left. And he became his own nation. And, of course, they worship other gods. And they turned their back on God. And they forgot all about what God had did for them and all of their ancestors, departing the Red Sea and doing the Passover over the doors, you know, and giving a mammon, you know, that none of that was, you know, sticking in, you know, they wasn't worrying about any of that. but those who endure unto the end in the things of God. See, he started out, but he didn't endure unto the end in the things of God. And I want you to know today, the nation of Edom, the descendants of Esau, no longer exist. They no longer exist. But Judah still exists. That's amazing. And 19 said, and they of the south shall pass, no, they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau. And they of the plain of the Philistines, and they shall possess the fields of Ephraim, and the fields of the Samarians, and Benjamin shall possess Galaad. And 20 said, and the captivities of this host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even unto Shephar, and the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Sephar, shall possess the cities of the south. And 21, and the savers shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Now, God, up until this point, Obadiah spoke about the judgment that was going to happen to Esau, his descendants. And now, I told you, whenever there's judgment, they always have a restoration. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, you know, they're not going to exist. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to take the land and I'm going to give this part to this one. And I'm going to give this part to this one. And I'm going to give this part to this one. See, God could do that because he's total control and he is God. And the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, and the world and everything that dwell in is God's land. And he's deciding to arrange and rearrange how it had been to fit his purpose, his plan, and for his glory. You see, here we come to the restoration part by God. And I want you to know that Edom is an example of all the nations, or what can happen to the nations that are hostile towards God. I want you to know that the United States of America is a nation. China, you know. But just like God did with Edom, everybody is going to have to answer to the consequences. You see, nothing can break God's promise to protect his people from complete destruction. We in the United States of America, but if you're God's people, he will protect his people from complete destruction. The Edomites had been cruel to God's people. They were ignorant and proud, and they took advantage of the misfortune. Y'all seeing that going on? There's nothing new under the sun. So I could tell you today, hold your head up, because God is in total control. No matter what goes on around you, no matter who's in charge. When we studied the book of Kings, we read that the heart of a king is in God's hand, and he flows it whatever way he wants, because he could do that because he's God and he's in control, and nothing happened unless he orchestrated or he allowed it. Any nation that mistreat people who obey God will be punished. He can't punish Edom and not punish other nations. regardless how invincible they may appear, God still knows. Similar, we as individuals cannot allow ourselves to feel comfortable with what we have and fail to help God's people, because it is a sin. And because God is just, and just as just, loving and kind as God is, he also will punish. That's our lesson for tonight. And I pray that it was some information that you could use, some that can strengthen you, some that can help you. I have a caller that mic is on. Caller, your number is 457-95. Your mic is open.
I'm 100, but I knew where there would be more than that. Grand Isle, and we called in with 1.3.
Hello.
Down there for sure.
Hello.
It's not so bad out there. Temperatures in the 70s and lower 80s. Humidity.
They must have pressed the button by mistake. But if anybody else would like to add something to it, you know, I really would like to hear from somebody today. Anybody would like to give encouragement, or they have a prayer request, or you want to tell us a praise report, call it. Your number is 504-975-19. Your mic is open.
Hey, Minister Diane, it's Pat. It's Pat Webb. I just want to commend you on the history, and it makes you think that it makes you wonder. I've always wondered why people act the way that they do. And when you learn history, you know, and the behaviors of people, then you kind of know why different religions and different cultures act the way that they do and why they believe what they believe. And you have to do your research in order to know that if you don't know. And so I was just glad to know the history of everything that you talked about. I'm glad that you talked about the background, because just reading Obadiah, I wouldn't have known, you know, everything that you brought out. So thank you for that.
And I thank you for sharing that with us, Sister Pat. And I pray you continue to listen whenever you can. I know you have a busy schedule, but I love it when you're on the line. And I say thank you. Is there any callers or anyone would like to say anything at this time? It is now the 9:30 hour, and I promise to do it within an hour unless we all are touching and agree to stay longer. But it's now time to end the program, and I'm going to call on Patricia Webb. Patricia?
Yes, ma'am.
Would you like to close us out in prayer tonight?
Yes, ma'am.
And for those who are listening, don't think I'll press the button on you, you know, just asking or putting you on the spot. You know, I know Patricia Webb personally, and I know she's a prayer warrior, and I know that she embraced every opportunity that God gives her to be in service. So with knowing all of that about her, I was confident to just ask her. So I don't want, you know, you to say, oh, you pressed the button in a late. No, it's not that. I know her. And so, Sister Pat, I believed in my heart you would agree. And now you have the floor.
Thank you. Thank you for this lesson, God, that has been well put together. Thank you for the lesson that you have given. To it, God, so that you can make sure that we get the word that you have put forward. God, continue to bless Minister Diane and everything that she does, and return to her a hundredfold everything that she's put out. And to the hearers, God, help us to understand and receive everything, every word that has been said, so that we can go out and do, and not just be hearers of your word. God bless everyone that's under the sound of my voice, God. Bless the people that are connected to these people, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much. And if there's nothing else to be said, remember that this is not Diane Adams' Bible study. This is our Bible study. And God has given this forum to all of us to share with one another the things of God. I like you to always know that I give information, and it's the Holy Ghost that gives the illumination and revelation. And that's our program for tonight. So with that being said, I'm going to do a benediction, and I'll see you on next week if the Lord say the same. Same time, same station, and you guys should know what the next book is, because you know we're going through the book of prophecy. And after Obadiah, you know that the next book is Jonah. And Jonah only have 4 chapters, so you know me, I'm going to ask you to read the book of Jonah. But I will give you the printed text that we will expound on. So next week, the book of Jonah, read the whole book. It's only 4 chapters. And let God reveal what he's trying to say unto you. So the benediction for the night, and I love y'all know, 2 Peter 3:18. And it's my prayer that each and every one of us grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's our program for tonight. And I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. Be blessed. Pray for one another. Give encouragement to one another. And watch how God use you. Amen and good night and be blessed.